Oh yeah, Dre, come on, pump it up, man. You know how time is tight.
Super have some fun, here we go. Have some fun. You know what time it is?
Oh yeah. Come on, from LA to New York, it's time to wake up.
Time is arrived.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise,
yeah.
I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Welcome, of course. Today is Wednesday, May the 23rd.
Oh, yeah.
You are officially talking sports with the 12th man, joined by Robert Ford. I am Andre Peterson, and we are ready for a fabulous night of catching up, talking sports, all that fun stuff. Once again, Robert, I'm not throwing any elbows, any fragrant fouls your way, too. I'm just saying that. You know, another show.
I think maybe we should have a poll, man. You know, we got this nice intro music. We need to have our listeners to vote on what kind of closing music we should have to end our show, huh?
That's a good idea. I like it. Okay. We'll definitely add that to the page, too. So, real quick, obviously, for those who want to call in the show, 424-243-9519. And also, we're on Twitter, the number 12, THManSports, and also like us on Facebook. But, Rob, I got us at the table. We're going to talk about. We got a lot of subjects to get into. First and foremost, the NBA is taking center stage. We're going to focus on that, some recaps about the playoffs. This is another thing we're going to talk about, the NBA coaching carousel. We're going to talk about that. And this is something that's pretty interesting. Roger Goodell, and that may not be a good name in Saints country there, but there has been some evidence that he supposedly found on the bounty. We're going to talk about that. We're into some NFL predictions on AFC and NFC North. Get my thing down here.
Oh, yeah. Trying to get the party started again.
I'm making sure everyone's ready. And then also we're going to talk also about mock draft coverage too. Now, Rob, just FYI too, I gotta check the blog talk because it kind of like it actually just cut on, so it was down. But for those that don't know, we're now ready to go. So anyway, let's jump into the NBA playoffs and some recaps. And obviously, we wouldn't be here if we're not gonna talk about a very very physical game between the Heat and the Pacers. Kind of want to get your thoughts about this, Rob, because, you know, obviously back in the day, you know, being physical and the bad boys and the old school Knicks, that was kind of a part of the game. Now it's kind of changing, if you will. So kind of want to get your thoughts about this and anything you want to talk about as far as some playoff talk here.
Yeah. Well, to a certain degree, you know, of course you don't condone any cheap shot fouls and things of that nature, but to a certain degree, I think the Indiana Pacers were trying to punk the Miami Heat a little bit early in the series. And I think the last couple of games, the Miami Heat just came out and says, hey, we're not going to have any of it. If we got to be physical, we have to protect LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. And I think that's what you saw, you know, with some of the fouls on last night. And the Haslam foul was actually more of a retaliation from the foul by Tyler Hansbrough. And in my personal opinion, I don't think that foul deserved a suspension. Now, the Dexter Pittman foul, then that one definitely deserved a suspension. For those of you all who don't know, Udonis Haslam will be suspended tomorrow night for the Miami Heat, and Dexter Pittman will be suspended for 3 games. I definitely agree with the Dexter Pittman foul being the suspension. I think it was definitely warranted. I don't necessarily agree with the Udonis Haslam decision, but, hey, I'm not the commissioner of the NBA. I'm not Stu Jackson either. And so that's a decision that they made. And, of course, Miami's got to live with it. I personally believe Miami's going to go up to Indiana and close that series out tomorrow night.
So you think not having Haslam is going to, it's not going to affect the Heat as much, you don't think?
No, I think, you know, of course there's going to be a loss, and of course they're still without Chris Bosh. But I think Indiana is a wounded animal right now. I mean, there's a possibility, you know, Danny Granger is going to be limping. David West says he's fine, he's going to be played, but both of those guys are, you know, sprained their ankles last night. And it just looks like LeBron and Wade are just focused right now after what happened after that Game 3 loss. And, you know, they are going to need Bosch in the next series if they plan on advancing. But, you know, like I said on our show last week, I still think they could beat Indiana without Bosch.
Yeah, and obviously a very interesting game, too, because, you know, if you'd watch the game, I don't think Tyler Hansbrough is known as being a dirty player. So he's definitely not a meta world piece and kind of has a reputation as being that, too. You know, obviously he's just playing hard. And, you know, I do think Indiana's kind of, you know, kind of stepping up the game to be a little bit more physical. I think definitely Larry Bird had something to say to them as well to kind of, like, bring that out of them, kind of bring a little old school back, too. But as mentioned, I think that he's going to we'll definitely finish off this series, and we'll see how that plays out in the future, too. And like I said, you know, you can say what you want about LeBron, and he's still got a lot of people that are trying to question him, but that dude was focused in that game. I mean, you know, you talk about just he had a look in his eyes like, you know, he's going to give the Pacers everything he wanted, you know, that game, scoring 40, I think he scored like 40 points, something crazy like that.
Sunday, you know, 40 points,
yeah.
18 rebounds, 9 assists.
So he was definitely focused too. But like I said, it's just one of the situations too where, you know, just an incredible athlete, man, and, you know, wow, very impressive. Not that I'm a Heat fan or anything like that, but they definitely had their game faces in during the game. So it's going to be a very, very tough game. And like you said, I think the Pacers are definitely a wounded animal.
And I think the Pacers are going to come out fighting tomorrow night. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I think Larry Bird, the comment Larry Bird made on today calling his team soft, I think that was a wake-up call to his team. So I think you're going to see the Pacers come out with a lot of energy tomorrow night. They're going to come out and try to play physical. They're going to try to come out with their little silly intimidation tactics. But in the end, it's ultimately not going to work. And I think Miami will send them home come tomorrow night, even though the game is in Indiana. And, you know, let's kind of shift gears here a little bit. You know, the Western Conference semifinals are complete. You know, I think we have a series out west that a lot of people have been waiting for. You have the number one seed, San Antonio Spurs, against the number two seed, Oklahoma City Thunder. I think this will be a very entertaining series. I know the Spurs have now won 18 in a row. They're 8-0 in the playoffs. OKC is 8-1 in the playoffs. OKC might be a little bit more tested in these playoffs than the Spurs have. And should be a really good series. I think in the end the Spurs are going to win it, but I can definitely see this being a 7-game series.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I know if you've been following our posts, we've been giving a lot of love to the Spurs and Tim Duncan. And you talk about a guy that's very underrated, probably one of the greatest players to ever play his position. And just a guy that, you know, a silent superstar, doesn't really, you know, ask for a lot of attention, very low-key, doesn't give, like, a lot of things to the media. I mean, just a guy that, like you said, he's a perfect superstar, but yet still he's just content with being low-key and being very anonymous. So, you know, like I said, I'm not going to switch gears because I've been always going OKC. And this is not because I don't respect the Spurs. It's more or less I just think that Kevin Durant is definitely focused too. But I would not be upset if the Spurs make it to the finals at all too. So, you know, if anyone's going to knock them off the throne, you know, obviously, you know, the Spurs are up there. They're playing great ball. You know, they got and you got to appreciate Greg Popovich the way he's able to kind of move the pieces together too and get a lot of young players and to play their type of basketball too. So, OKC wins. It's definitely because they earned it. But like you said, this is going to be a great series. I believe it's going 7 games, and it could come to like a last-second shot, if you will. But it's going to be definitely a great series.
You know, what's so compelling about these two teams here is that OKC, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant, I think there's nobody on the Spurs roster as good as those two players individually. But I think when you look at the Spurs roster 1 through 12 and how unselfish the Spurs plays, and I think that's going to be the difference. Like I said, I don't think there's anybody on the Spurs roster as good as Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. And but when you put all the pieces together with the coaching philosophy, the unselfish play, and that's what's going to make this series very intriguing. You know, you got the two studs. against a team that maybe 1 through 12 might be one of the deepest teams we've seen in a long time. You know, of course, Oklahoma City's got James Harden. And I think Oklahoma City's going to try to be physical. They're going to try to come out and be physical with Kendrick Perkins and Serge Ibaka and you know, try to see if they can push the Spurs, be a little testy with them, and, you know, see how that works. But, yeah, this is a very, very intriguing series, and, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to it. For any of those out there that may want to call in and give you comments about the NBA playoffs, the number is 424-243-9519. Please call in and give us your thought. Tweet us some questions. Like us on Facebook. And last but not least, of course, tonight, you know, Philadelphia is hanging right there with the Boston Celtics, pulled off a win tonight. And a Game 7 in Boston on Saturday night. Should be very interesting. You know, you got a young team in Philly playing hard against a veteran bunch from Boston. I still think Boston is going to win this series. I can't imagine seeing this young team going into Boston and pull off the upset on Saturday night.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I agree with you as well, too. And, you know, speaking of that, too, if it, can you imagine if it came to a Spurs-Celtics, you know, championship? Wow. You know, totally unpredictable, man. But, that could be interesting, too, on both sides, too. But, you know, I agree with you. I definitely think that the Celtics are going to pull it out. And, you know, with the wounded Heat team, I think that the Celtics have the mental toughness to kind of compete with the Heat. But, obviously, we got to wait until the game is played. But we'll see how that actually is going to end up. I don't know your thoughts about that, Rob.
Well, I think Bosch is going to be the factor in the next series. I think if Bosch is playing, I think the Heat wins that series. If he's not playing, I think the Celtics win that series. I think it's going to come down to that. And you know, basically, you know, if you look at LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, you know, you got two stars that will have to compete with three stars without Bosch when you got Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Rondo. And I think if you add Bosch to the mix there, then you have somebody, Bosch over Garnett. I mean, come on, who would you rather have right now and at this point in their careers? LeBron versus Paul Pierce. I mean, come on, who would you rather have at this point in their careers? And, you know, Dwayne Wade versus Rondo. I mean, you can make a case that you can take Rondo there. But, you know, at this point, I just think Bosch is the factor right now. If he's healthy and he's playing, I think Miami wins that series. If he's not, I think Boston wins.
It's amazing how Bosch, we thought Bosch was just a throw-in, and now Bosch is a critical piece to the Heat's success. So there you go. Got to have the big three.
Yes, if they want to go far, they're definitely going to need him.
Mm-hmm. Yep, good points. Let's switch gears, Rob. Let's talk a little bit about the NBA coaching care. So there's been a lot of movement or a lot of talks here. If you've been keeping up with everything, you guys have heard a little bit about Jerry Sloane putting his name in the hat for possibly coaching the Charlotte Bobcats and possibly the Orlando Magic. So very interesting to see him kind of pop up. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to work for Charlotte per se because they got rid of Paul Silas, who's kind of an old school guy too. Obviously, I respect Sloane a lot. I think he's a great coach. I just don't know if that's a good move. I mean, like I said, I think just because he's an older guy, I mean, like I said, I don't know if that's what the Bobcats may want to go in that direction too, but I don't want to hear your thoughts about it too. And also, I don't know if you heard this as well, as far as Orlando, that Shaq has kind of put his name in the hat as far as the that vacant position too, now that Stan Van Gundy has been let go. And kind of your thoughts, Rob, if you were the GM, would you resign Dwight Howard or would you kind of trade him and kind of blow the thing up? So kind of a two-part question, if you will. And also for those who want to call in and give your thoughts about this type of topic as well, that would be great too. So once again, 424-243-9519 is the number for that, too. So,
floor
is yours, Rob.
Well, yeah, I'll kind of piggyback off of everything you just said there. I personally think Jerry Sloane will be a heck of a hire for the Charlotte Bobcats. I think he's just the right kind of coach that needs to take control of this organization for Michael Jordan. And I think they need a no-nonsense guy coaching that ball club right now, young players. And I think that's exactly what that franchise can use. I personally think out of everybody they mentioned, you know, whether it be Jerry Sloane, Stan Van Gundy, Brian Shaw, Patrick Ewing, Jerry Sloan would be the perfect guy for Michael Jordan, even if it's just for 3-4 years at this stage in his career. I think they need somebody who can come in there and, you know, lay down a law, be a great disciplinarian, and I think that would be the perfect hire for the Charlotte Bobcats. Now, getting over to Shaquille O'Neal going to Orlando for a possible general manager's position, this is simply a ploy to try to please Dwight Howard and to keep him in Orlando. Now, obviously, when Dwight Howard is healthy, he's probably the most dominant game in the game of basketball right now, when he's healthy, dominant big man, I should say. And so, you know, so you have to do everything you can to possibly please this guy. And bringing in somebody like Shaq, a guy who a lot of players will love, and players from around the league will probably love to come and play for him. And so this is simply a ploy by the Orlando organization that's bringing a guy that can relate to Dwight Howard and a guy that can relate to other players still and convince them to come play with Dwight Howard in Orlando. I personally think it's a smart move by Orlando. I'm not sure, you know, how Shaq is as far as evaluating talent, but hopefully they can get up a great player evaluator that can sit under Shaquille O'Neal and handle that aspect. But I think from the simple fact of Shaquille being able to attract players because of his name, I think it's a great move by the Orlando Magic, if they're able to convince him to come in and take that kind of a position.
Gotcha. And like I said, whenever we're talking about Jerry Sloan, I'm not saying he's a great coach. I'm just saying, too, the fact that I thought that Jerry's kind of similar to Paul Solis, I mean, he's an older guy, maybe more of a disciplinarian, too. So I don't know if that's kind of you're replacing, you know, kind of the same guy, too. But
I never really considered Paul Solis to be a great coach, though. Jerry Sloan was always a great coach.
Okay,
and I think, you know, and don't get me wrong, I think Paul Solis is a very nice guy, you know, but I don't think as far as coaching pedigree, I don't think he's ever in the same arena with Jerry Sloan when it comes to coaching. And that's just the real truth.
And also, yeah, you'd have some experience because Paul Solis was also a coach for the Hornets, too, so, you know. I don't know the New Orleans ones, but So
we thought he underachieved even with some of those teams. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Good deal. Well, like I said, keep an eye on that too. Always like us on Facebook because we keep some updates as far as a lot of moves and a lot of fun stuff too. So got about 12 minutes left in the show, Rob. I guess once again we're switching gears and we're going to talk about unfortunately some more insight about the bounty situation in the NFL. And I don't know your thoughts about, there's been some rumors that Roger Goodell actually has some evidence. The whole world's been screaming about this, and now apparently where there's smoke, there's fire. And and I guess he's going to bring some stuff public after the appeals process goes down. So kind of want to get your thoughts, being obviously a Saints fan, and your thoughts on everything.
Well, yeah. Well, I think what's really interesting about this whole situation is Roger Goodell says he has evidence, but he's just been holding it for so long. But now he comes out and says eventually he's going to come out to the public. And I think one of the biggest mistakes Roger Goodell has made is if you do have evidence of an alleged bounty scheme that has been run by the Saints, why wait and get all these lawsuits again? You're already getting lawsuits left and right from former players about concussions. And now, if you do have evidence, why withhold it and create more lawsuits? And I think this is he's definitely by far the worst commissioner that we've seen, you know, since I've been watching football. And, he's coming across as like a dictator or something like that. He's like Adolf Hitler. I mean, I don't know really what's going on. I mean, why? Now you're getting a defamation lawsuit from a player? Has any commissioner ever gotten that before? I mean, if you have evidence, spill the beans. And you could have prevented all of the mess that is already created. Now you're getting a player suing Roger Goodell, the individual. When has a player sued the commissioner? He's not suing the league. He's suing the commissioner. A defamation lawsuit. Are you familiar with this?
Wow. You know, obviously this is you're referring to Jonathan Vilma. And, this is something that, now I know apparently he's been in the process of, saying this, that he's going to make known everything after the appeals process, too. So I think there's been losses that have been going on, and I don't know if it has anything to do with what's going on with the appeals and all that, if that's something separate. You know, now, granted, I think Jonathan Vilma is upset because of the fact I think his character has been kind of called into question, too. And, you know, I don't know whether he's getting advice from lawyers to say, hey, you got to definitely strike first. Obviously, Jonathan Vilma had a tweet that he actually said that he's, this is straight from him, after John Vilma 51, he says, as I said before, I've never paid nor intended to pay any amount of money to any player for intentionally hurting an opponent. And this is a tweet that he actually sent out. So, you know, I'm kind of curious to see what type of evidence Roger has, and me and Roger are on first-name basis, by the way. I'm just joking. Any type of I'm kind of curious to see what type of information Goodell has, because, you know, it's very, like you said, it's kind of, you do have to question the timing of this. But as mentioned, I think it still doesn't look good for the league at this juncture, what's going on. Now, it's tough because, you know, he's acting like he's judge, executioner, jury, everything, and there has to be some type of checks and balances. Definitely that come into play, too. So, obviously, I'm curious to hear your thoughts, Rob, because you're definitely in the middle of this being, like I said, a Saints fan, and I'm sure everything that's been going on in New Orleans, they're not a big fan of Goodell, obviously, as well.
Well, obviously so. I mean, you know, definitely Roger Goodell is not the most liked person in New Orleans and this whole Gulf Coast region right now. But like I said, a lot of this could have been prevented. The NFLPA was saying for weeks, just show us the evidence. I mean, if you have evidence against some players that have been involved in this, then we're behind you. So, I mean, that's, I think, the big issue here. Why, if Goodell, if you do have evidence, you could have prevented all of the lawsuits that are coming out right now. And it just does not look good for the league as a whole right now. And now today, the NFLPA launched another lawsuit against the NFL, saying that in an uncapped year, you know, the NFL had a secret cap for $123 million. And, I mean, it's just, it's not looking, I mean, Roger Goodell is commissioner, in my opinion, the NFL is a great, the football of the game is a great game. It's a great league. You know, I've been a fan of the league since I was a kid, just like you have, I'm sure. But Roger Goodell, I think, has made some poor decisions. It's just my personal opinion. I know a lot of people that say, oh, you're just a Saints fan. And, you know, that is true. I am one. But in my opinion, he could have released some of this evidence a long time ago, and we could have prevented all of this mess that's taking place right now. That's just my opinion.
Like I said, I'm coming from the other side, too, because I try to be right down the middle, too. So I really think that I don't think Goodell expected the feedback that he's been getting. I'm sure he expected it to kind of like, okay, we're going to accept what you said and just kind of go away quietly. But, you know, obviously it has created a lot of feedback, a lot of, you know, definitely incited a lot of stuff from fans and from obviously from the players too. So it's a very interesting situation. And like you said, I'm very curious to see what type of evidence he has because, as you said, you know, why did he hold it? I don't know. You know, but we'll see, you know, obviously once the appeals process goes down, too. And obviously you guys want to get Mr. Breeze locked up, too. So you guys got a lot of things going on in Saints land, too. So it's going to be an interesting season, you know. So, you know.
That's another story itself, you know. You know, I don't think a lot of us could really understand why Breeze is not signed yet. But that's another story in itself. But getting back to the Jonathan Vilma issue here, just from my vantage point, I mean, you almost have to believe Jonathan Vilma. I mean, the guy only has one personal foul penalty in 3 years. You don't have any evidence of him trying to harm any player. And so, and the way he's coming out with these lawsuits against Goodell, it's almost hard not to believe him. One personal foul in 3 years of football.
Well, like I said, see, and this is where, you know, I try to...
And, you know, if you have evidence, why withhold it all this time?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the thing is, I think that, you know, I really, you know, fully think that Roger didn't expect, the all this feedback. But it coming from another side, as mentioned earlier, I don't think that Roger's saying that, you know, Jonathan hit people. I think he's kind of like the ringleader. So, it's kind of like, you know, you're guilty by association. We talked about this last week. You know, you may not necessarily shot the gun, but you were kind of like the accomplice in the case too. So, you know, that's where
which has turned out to be totally false as well.
But like you said, you know, and like you said, that's why we have to wait and see everything in the evidence. And like you said, if you got proof, let's see what we got, you know, because I'm sure, you know, the NFL, they do like a lot of background stuff too. But like you said, it all comes down to what evidence that they have too. So, yeah, this is what everyone's been waiting for. Let's see what you got. Where is this coming from? So we can kind of attack and see what's going on too. So, you know, like I said, this is a very, very, very heated subject. Obviously, from like a second, so we'll see how this plays out too. So,
To our listeners, stay tuned on this matter. This could be going on for quite some time throughout the summer, even going into next season. So, these are going to be some back and forth lawsuits for some time on what's going to be taking place on this. But real quick, I know we only have a few more minutes left in the show. Let's kind of get into our AFC North and NFC North, kind of give our listeners a sneak preview. I know a lot can change before the season starts. But let's go ahead with your NFC North predictions.
Real quick, as for the NFC North, I don't think there's a lot of changes, too. I've got Green Bay. They're still the king right now. No one's going to knock them off the roost. I had a toss-up, sir, because, you know, I still don't quite trust Jay Cutler in this means. And, you know, I think the Vikings are going to do some things, too, with, you know, Peterson coming back. They're not going to lose that many games. But I still like the Lions going number two. Have the Bears number three, and have the Vikings number four. And only because, you know, like I said, I think adding Brandon Marshall is going to add something to that offense. The defense has always been great for the Bears. I'm still kind of torn because I think Peterson's going to come back with a vengeance too. But, you know, that can be one of those toss-ups between the Bears and the Vikings in that division.
Yeah, I can't agree with you. I couldn't agree with you anymore on the division standings there. I think, yeah, definitely Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay 1, Detroit 2, Chicago 3. But I wouldn't be surprised if you have three playoff teams from that division, at least two. But Minnesota is definitely still bringing up the rear. And I definitely could see possibly three teams in that division. But definitely at least two. I definitely think you'll see Green Bay and Detroit back in the playoffs. And switching gears to the AFC North, this is another one I kind of wrestle with. I'm going to go Baltimore 1 on this one, and Pittsburgh 2, and Cincinnati 3, and Cleveland. I know they're announcing that they're planning on starting Brandon Weeden at quarterback, and so I kind of see them bringing up the rear in the division.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you also as well, just because, you know, this was definitely a toss-up because, you know, Baltimore is getting kind of old now, you know, defensively. I mean, you know, obviously they have that great defense, but you have some stuff going on with Ed Reed. Is he coming back? Is he 100% focused? A lot of questions with, obviously, with Joe Flacco. Can he take that to the next level? That's definitely one of the things, too. Pittsburgh Steelers, they lost one of their great receivers, Hines Ward, retiring. You know, they got questions for the running back position. Ben Roethlisberger, we're still going to have that going on. Like you said, the Bengals, they're not quite ready yet. Obviously, they made tremendous strides with Andy Dalton and A.J. Green. Great young team, but as mentioned, I don't think they're quite ready. And, Cleveland's going to bring up the rear because they're rebuilding and they're definitely a young team. So, Rob, we got about 90 seconds here as we wrap up. And like I said, we hope everyone has had a great time listening to us. I know we always tend to be passionate about certain subjects. I mean, they take a little longer on certain subjects. But, you know, we definitely would love to get your feedback and your thoughts on the show and how we're doing. And as Rob mentioned, hopefully we'll add a poll as far as a good song to kind of end the show, too. So I'll let you end it, Rob, and kind of set the stage for next week and kind of going into the OT as well.
Yeah, next week, you know, we're going to be definitely continuing our coverage of the NBA playoffs. We're going to take a sneak peek into some top prospects for the 2013 NFL draft. We're going to, by next week's show, we're going to know the official NBA draft lottery order, so we can maybe talk a little bit more about the NBA, some NBA mock draft coverage as well. So definitely join us next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. for our friends in Los Angeles, 5 p.m. for those in Hawaii. Look forward to sharing some information with you all on next Wednesday night. Good night, people.
Good night, and don't forget to like us on Facebook, give us your feedback, and add us on Twitter. We definitely appreciate all the new Twitter followers. And once again, that's at the number 12mansports at twitter.com. So we'll thank you guys, and we'll see you guys next week. Stay tuned for the OT.
And one other thing, we're going to be talking about our NFC and AFC South predictions next weekend, next week.
There you go. All right, Rob, we are officially in the OT, and for those that are listening in online, thank you guys for showing us some love, and this is a lot of our archive listens. But, Rob, I don't know if you want to kind of go into depth about our predictions or you want to talk about some like draft covers. I'm going to kind of open the floor to you, kind of what you want to, what direction you'd like to go into, sir.
Well, yeah, I know we kind of rushed through our NFC and AFC North prediction there. Maybe we can, kind of talk a little bit more about that and then kind of tap into a little bit more of the NBA mock draft coverage, you know, with the lottery being actually a week from tonight. So this should be really interesting. But getting back to the NFC North, and just as we said, I think Green Bay is just going to be too strong again. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you got to say, if he's not the best quarterback in the game, he's definitely in the top three at the worst. And they got so many weapons on offense. They got to re-sign Michael Finley. Got tons of wide receivers. You know, there could be a question mark about the running game. Could be the only area that could be some cause of concern. I know Ryan Grant won't be back with the Packers this coming season. And so that could be a cause of concern. And depth along the offensive line. And as you know, last year, Green Bay started to struggle a little bit toward the end of the season because they were getting some injuries along the offensive line and didn't quite have the depth there. And that kind of hurt them that game against Kansas City to end their winning streak. And it hurt them in the playoffs against the Giants. But if they can rectify that, I mean, they're going to be tough to beat. They needed another pass rusher to go outside of Clay Matthews. They went out and got Nick Perry in the draft, a speed edge rusher guy out of USC. And so I still think they're a notch above the rest of the division, but they do have a couple of areas that they are going to have to shore up if they want to go far. And Detroit, Matthew Stafford, I tell you, man, when you watch a guy throws a football, the ball just looks pretty coming out of his hands. He's got a rocket for an arm. I mean, the quarterback is just getting better. Last season was the first year he really had an opportunity to stay healthy. And this is another team. They're going to get Mikael LeSure back at the running back position. Javid Best is going to be back at the running back position. This team could knock on the door of Green Bay, but I still think they're going to be a game or two behind them. But I would say within a year or two, this is going to be the team that's going to be a favorite to win this NFC North on a regular basis. With the quarterback they have, the young tight end, Kelvin Johnson. And I'll tell you what, Jim Schwartz is building a very good defense. If he can improve that secondary, he's already got a great front seven. And the Bears, Lovie Smith, you never can't count him out. You know, he's playing a solid cover two defense. You know, and with Jay Cutler, unfortunately, is just the third best quarterback in this division. And I mean, it's just, you know, Brandon Marshall, you know, you never know what you're going to get out of him. And so I still think they'll be a competitive team, but they just won't be able to compete for this division title. In Minnesota, they just have too many weaknesses right now, still young at the quarterback position. And Adrian Peterson is probably going to be missing the first month or two of the season. So they're just going to be, I think they're still in rebuilding mode. Another good draft class next season could probably help them get over the hump. And the quarterback, like I said, Ponder still has a lot to learn. So I don't know if you want to add anything more about those NFC North teams before we maybe add a little bit more about the AFC North.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on a lot of those subjects too. I especially like your analysis about the Chicago Bears too. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm not beating up on Cutler because, you know, obviously for my Vanderbilt people out there too, but just, you know, I'm not quite sure what we're going to get out of him too. And, you know, you did, you know, no matter how talented Brandon Marshall is, he's kind of a, you know, you kind of get that thing that maybe he is a kind of a, you know, not a head case, but hopefully he can keep, you know, keep his head in the game because a lot of those talented players sometimes are the toughest players to kind of corral too. So, you know, hopefully he doesn't kind of detonate the team on the inside there. And, you know, obviously I know they had some problems with Matt Forte. I think they got that resolved too. But, you know, the locker room may be a problem for the Bears, so that's kind of what I'm thinking too. But, you know, they always have a strong enough defense, and I think they realize that they have to definitely add some more offense because they're in a very explosive division. And, you know, definitely I agree with you just kind of jumping back as far as with the Lions too. You know, I think Schwartz has kind of followed a pattern of the Giants to kind of get pretty strong up front with that front seven, as you mentioned. I don't quite think they're there yet on the defensive side in the secondary. That remains to be seen. But, you know, obviously if you have an explosive offense like they have, you're definitely going to be in a lot of games too. So it's going to be an interesting season. Yeah, and kind of lastly, kind of following up about the Vikings, I agree with you too. I mean, I definitely think that Adrian Peterson, you talk about a guy that's really, you know, kind of chomping at the bit to come back and kind of put his stake on the Vikings too. They said that no one's working harder than him to kind of come back and kind of put his mark on this team too. I don't think it's going to be enough. As mentioned, I don't think they'll lose as many games. They lost 13 games last year. I don't think they'll lose as many games, obviously. But like you said, if he's about a month into the season, it may be a little bit too much for them to overcome. But this is definitely going to be a very very tough black and blue division, as it's so aptly nicknamed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and moving on to the AFC North, you know, I think we kind of agreed for the most part on our division selections, first, second, third, and fourth, in both AFC and NFC North. I think last week we were a little different on AFC and NFC West, but, you know, it's okay to be in agreement sometime. And, you know, we talked about Baltimore, but I think this Baltimore-Pittsburgh is extremely close.
Yeah.
I know I picked Baltimore 1, but I think Pittsburgh is right there or would not be shocked. And one of the things that hurt Pittsburgh last season, too, was a lack of a running game. Rashard Mendenhall getting hurt, and they didn't have much depth at the running back position. And Pittsburgh was starting to get really old on the offensive line. If you look at what they did in the draft, they really tried to get some studs in the first few rounds along that offensive line. They got Mike Adams from Ohio State as one, but they're really trying to get younger along that offensive line and to also have some depth options along that offensive line for this season. And you know, so I think that was a great move. Those are some areas where they needed to improve. And Baltimore needed to get a little younger on defense. You know, even, you know, losing Terrell Suggs was definitely going to be a blow and looked like he may be out for the season. But Sergio Kendall, a guy they drafted out of Texas a year ago, looks like he may be ready to fill in the void. And then you actually drafted Courtney Upshaw as well. So you got two guys that can be the edge rushers and a 3-4 outside linebacker that can fill in the void while Suggs is out. And I think, you know, offensively, I think Baltimore just might have a little bit more of a balance. Even though I don't think Flacco is as good a quarterback as Roethlisberger, but I think as far as the running back position, I think Baltimore has a little bit more depth, a little bit more balance on offense, and don't have any of the offensive line issues that maybe the Steelers may have. And so I still think Baltimore slightly. I think Cincinnati is still at 13. I mean, they luckily made it to the playoffs last season at 9-7. I think they are going to have a slight regress. And I agree.
And
I hope
I
people
agree.
Will understand me when I say this. I think Cincinnati will be better this season, but I don't think their record will be as good. I know it may not make a lot of sense, but I think this is one of those. Last season, I think they were just lucky from a scheduling standpoint. They got a win to get some easy opponents, and they did not beat a team with a winning record at all last season, and they still made the playoffs. And so I think this is a year where Cincinnati will actually be better, but their record won't indicate it. And Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, Jermaine Gresham, I mean, I like what Marvin Lewis is doing on both sides of the ball. And I think this is another one of these teams, as I mentioned, with the NFC North. Detroit is going to be the team to beat in this division in a couple of years. I think Cincinnati is going to be the team to beat in this AFC North in about another year or two.
I'm sure Marvin Lewis is happy that you have his endorsement about that too, man. That's awesome.
Yes. My endorsement is not going to get him to keep his job. He's going to have to perform.
definitely we are in 100% agreement, too. And that's a good point, too, about Cincinnati, too, because I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking that, you know, whether it was the schedule, they were able to sneak up on a lot of teams because, you know, some teams kind of come in like, ah, Cincinnati. And they got surprised by how well they played, and that's just they're so young, they don't really know any better. Kind of similar to what happened to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That one year they kind of blitzed the league, and they were like 10-6. They started winning a lot of games because they had all that confidence. And this year, as you mentioned, they're going to have a tougher schedule, and I think that they're not going to be able to sneak up on a lot of teams, so they're going to be prepared. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of doubling on A.J. Green because he's definitely evolving into a very exciting and a great young player, so they're going to figure out a way to kind of put the clamps on him. Not quite sure what they have as far as their running game. I think they signed Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis from I think they signed – I'm pretty sure they signed a running back too, but, you know, as far as that, I don't know what they have as far as that. But, you know, as mentioned, I think they're going to have a better team. They made some good draft picks, but as you mentioned, it's going to be tough for them to kind of make that make some hay this year. And very interesting to hear about the Cleveland Browns and how Brandon Weeden has been named the starter. I don't know. So that's definitely that's what they're – is that word on the street? That's definitely what's going down with Cleveland as well?
Yes, made an announcement today that they're planning on definitely hoping that he's a starter, but they're planning on him being the starter right now.
Wow.
And, so – you know, anytime you draft a quarterback, he's about 28, 29 years old, and you're drafting him in the first round, I mean, you need that guy to play right away. At that age, you know, typically when you're drafting a quarterback in the first round, you're thinking he's 21, 22, 23, so you may have him for a good 10 to 15 years. But, you know, Cleveland spent the first round draft pick on a quarterback who's 28, 29 years old. You don't have any time to waste. That guy needs to come in and start right away at that age if you're going to spend the first-round pick on him. So Cleveland is banking on him being the starter.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to if you're going to spend the first-round draft pick on a quarterback at that age. And, but I just don't – looking at their roster, I don't think they're going to be very competitive this year just yet. So, I mean, they're still a year or two away, in my opinion.
Yeah,
maybe
I mean, like
a year or two away from being a year or two away.
poor Cleveland fans, we just keep, piling on, man. First LeBron, now this. But, no, like you said, I think it's very interesting, too. You know, obviously, if you're in Cleveland, you definitely did your research and your homework on Brandon. He is a mature guy. You know, I don't know if he's going to be as successful. I mean, you've had a big, big void at the quarterback position for the past couple of years, too. So you hope that they batted that piece in the quarterback position. You know, obviously – Trent Richardson, we think is going to be a pretty good, pretty special running back. I don't know if they added enough weapons offensively. You know, obviously Trent will do his thing, and then, you know, as far as on the wideout position too. So we'll see what happens with him too. You know, big fan of defense. You know, defense wins a lot of championships too. So you hope that they actually get some depth too, just in case something happens to Trent. And you know, this is a lot of time that he spent on the Cleveland team too. So I don't know what's going on here.
We spend way too much time talking about the Cleveland Browns
way
on this show.
A lot of love.
We probably have one Cleveland Brown fan out there listening. Just for you. There's one Cleveland Brown fan out there.
Oh, man. A lot of love. And I think my wife's cousin is a big Cleveland Brown fan, too. So hopefully she got some love with that, too. Well, Rob, man, we're wrapping up, man. We've got about got a minute or two left of the show. Do you want to kind of wrap up and kind of set us up at the stage for next week? And you didn't get a chance to talk about your mock draft. It is coming out next week, a week from June the 26th, too. So we're going to be right in the middle of that, too, as well. So I'm going to go ahead and set the stage for that and kind of talk, too.
Well, those of you all that have teams and fans of teams that are in the NBA lottery, the lottery is actually next Wednesday night on May 30th. Of course, I'm a Hornets fan. We got two lottery picks in this draft. We need to get the number one and number two pick in this draft. I don't know if that's ever been done before, but we need it to happen. But, yes, those of you all, definitely tune in on next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard. We're going to be talking about the NFC and AFC South. Of course, we're going to talk about the draft lottery. And, of course, we're going to look into some draft prospects for the 2013 NFL draft. So definitely stay tuned, listen in, and look forward to a great show next week. Good night, Pete.
Yeah, looking forward to also seeing who we have as far as, we talked about this earlier too, as far as who's going to be some stars, superstars in the draft. underrated players that you think, and then kind of get some feedback as far as any specific players that you want to, we think we should highlight for your team too. So big show next week. Tell your friends. Like I said, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, all that fun stuff. I look forward to talking to you guys next week.
And we'll be talking about the Eastern and Western Conference Finals come next week, people. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Join us next week.
Big time. Thanks, guys. Have a good evening. We'll see you guys next week.